This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In about 12 minutes, we'll dive into one word. It'll be 7:30 at that point. Get a one-word response to some trending topics going around. Talked a little bit about the draft success rate that you feel for the Chiefs going into the next season. It's on the Fan 965's Twitter, now X, if you want to fill that out, 75 to 100, so on and so forth down the list. 63% of you say you are 75 to 100% satisfied with the draft. Text line myself, kind of still, not annoyed is not the word, but distraught, I would say, about not getting a running back higher in the draft they did. You had said something about the third round pick they got in Jelani.
Yeah.
And quoted as Veach does it again.
Yeah, Veach does do it again here. And I think the new shirt is going to be Brett Veach kicking your ass on the field and off it since 2018. And this one comes from it is a big font. but that's what he's been doing. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. Brett Veach kicks your ass on the field and then he kicks it off the field as well. And Mike Silver is writing for The Athletic now, had a column about the draft, and he was in the Jacksonville war room checking out what they were going to do because they got some general managers younger than Mac. I don't know if you've seen this guy. Like, I think that Duval guy, like he's one of Willy Wonka's kids. That's the GM down there in Jacksonville. And so they wanted to kind of have this experience of what it was going to be like, this guy's first draft, Jacksonville, have some fun. Right. And so Mike Silver has behind the scenes look at what's going on.
And Adam's son.
Yeah, it is. And this will, it could be Adam's dad, brother, maybe. I'm trying to think like age wise. They're probably about the same age ish, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't matter. So he's in the war room for Jacksonville, and you know, people who were mad at the third round not getting the running back or deterred or whatever word you used it was. Here's what went down. So in Jacksonville, they obviously had the number two pick. They have Travis Hunter, and it turns out that Jacksonville was involved in maybe getting Jelani. Per Silver, the Jaguars had Jelani and running back R.J. Harvey in their sights with their third-round pick at number 70 overall. Chiefs are picking, 65, 66 at that point in time? 66? Mm-hmm. However, the Lions and L.A. Rams were also calling Jacksonville with offers to trade up into that pick, number 70 overall. For the Jags, they were focused on acquiring either player, Jelani or R.J. Harvey, or trading out if neither were available. The Denver Broncos would end up drafting Harvey, and we know the Chiefs took care of Jelani a few picks earlier. When Jelani came off the board, the Rams and Lions both said, we're out. We do not want to make this pick or make this trade now to move up to number 70 because both the Rams and the Lions were interested in this Jelani guy. And so when you see stuff like that happen, that kind of behind-the-scenes stuff that Mike Silver is giving you, it makes you go, oh, okay, Brett Veach did do it again. He picked this Jelani kid at number 66, who two teams were eyeing to trade up for if he was there at number 70. And so you're upset, distraught, whatever it is, that you didn't get a running back in the third round. You just got a defensive tackle to help a position of need. Let's call it what it is. We got a lot of, you know, we got a lot of old timers here playing the defensive line, a lot of old farts on that defensive line right now. You got to freshen that thing up, young that thing up a little bit. And so you were able to do that with a couple of picks, and you took a guy that two other teams were wanting to trade up for to get at that point in time, which shows you he was coveted by other organizations. And that's another coup for Brett Veach. Like, that's a pretty big ballsy move by Brett to do that and kind of read the room and understand what was going on, which makes him better than Howie Roseman.
But couldn't you have that same conversation with the running back room as well? Like, Kareem Hunt's now, 31, 32?
I don't think they believe in the running back in this organization like you may. And that's fine.
And that's not what I'm asking. Like, I'm just saying, like, you look at the defensive line where it's a position of need because you've got guys aging out and you've got guys that are probably not going to be back on a contract. You look at Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. You and Josh both made the determination on training camp rookie year Better enjoy him while he's here, because in 5 years he'll be gone.
That's right.
And if that's the case, that means this is potentially the last year of Isaiah Pacheco in Kansas
City.
This
is his fourth year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then Kareem Hunt back on a 1 year deal, probably his last year. And normally what we see is Brett Veach drafting for the future.
And he did, Breshard Smith in the seventh round. And okay. I will just tell you, they don't value the running back room like maybe you guys do after last season, right? Maybe some people view the running back room and view it like, oh my God, this is a position where we have to have a star. I don't think the Chiefs look at the running back position still to this day where they need to go out and have a star. And that's fine, because I do still think, I think there were some guys that were an anomaly last year. Obviously, Saquon Barkley is an anomaly in this league. And you know, Derrick Henry had his big year and whatnot. But overall, this position is still a position where it ends up in guys getting banged up and injured, as we saw here, both with Kareem Hunt towards the end of the year. He slowed down, and obviously we lost Isaiah Pacheco. And so I just don't think the Chiefs value the running back position as highly as maybe, you know, fantasy owners do, or wow, offense. They value the lines of scrimmage. And you can see by what they did their first three picks, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, defensive lineman. If you're not good on those lines of scrimmage, it doesn't matter who your star players are. And so they believe that they invest in the offensive and defensive lines, everything else will take care of itself. And that's their mode of operation. And I think it's worked. And they've also never really had a star running back here. I mean, yes, Andy had Jamal at the tail end of his career, but then it was Ware. It was Spencer Ware. And who was the other guy? Damian Williams.
Charkandrick West.
Yeah. You know, like they've never.
Clyde, Damian, Darrell. We've been through those.
Right. Yes. It's just like, look at the track record of what Andy Reid and Brett Veach have done for 12 years now. And it will tell you that the running back position is just not a position they are willing to invest heavily in from a monetary standpoint and a draft pick standpoint. They believe that they've got other weapons and other ways to move the ball. And if you just give me a competent running back, we'll figure this thing out. And that's kind of what they've been doing. But you've got to win on defensive and offensive lines. And I think one of the big reasons they lost that Super Bowl, no pressure on from the defensive line whatsoever. And I think they're looking at that now going, okay, we need to change that over. We need to get younger. We need to get quicker. We need to get stronger. We need to get faster along that defensive line. Because what did beat the Chiefs? The defensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles. And being a copycat league, that's kind of where you go. So I think they value the defensive line position a lot more than they value the running back position. And if you've got a guy that you value at a position that you value higher than a guy at a position that you don't value as high, you're going to take that guy at 66. And again, stealing him from two other teams is pretty awesome.
Fair enough. Yeah. Again, I don't necessarily consider it a loss. I'm just saying, like, that's just where my heart was going.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And just from what I had heard from, like, Brett Veach talking about in, you know, pre-draft interviews, I was like, okay, this screams, like, you know, third or fourth round. And I get it, like, And my bad, Kareem Hunt will be 30 on August 6th this year. So
he's still 30 for the season. Yeah. But I mean, like you, maybe you didn't expect, you know, Ashton Gelati to be there. And that's the pick from LeJarius Sneed, by the way. So
yep. Thank you, Titans.
If this kid turns out to be a guy who we're buying the jersey of at the end of the season, again, thank you, Titans, for, you know, for that pick. And then, of course, in the third round, a little bit later on, you got Noel Williams, who people love this guy. Like, you can't find anything negative about that guy as a defensive back. You know, he can go out there and make plays. He can tackle. He's not afraid to hit somebody. He's a ball hawk. So you've got guys on this list that they probably thought maybe weren't going to be there, ended up being there. They had him higher than maybe a running back on their board, so they went with that guy. And that's the way they've always operated. They've never gone into a draft going, we got to have this. We got to take this guy at this position. They look around and they go, we're set basically everywhere. Who is the best player that we have ranked on the board at this point in time? And they go ahead and they draft that guy.
I think it's also important to mention that Isaiah Pacheco did get hurt last season, and he's when he came back, he obviously was not himself.
No, he was not.
So they have to believe that with a full offseason that he's going to return to form. And I'm saying form for him is a top 12 running back, 13, 14 running back.
Definitely. Really think that's pretty good for a seventh round pick, man? Like,
I think that's awesome. That's what he's shown at his peak, around a top, definitely top half, but
so
I'd say top 12.
You got a top 12 running back in the seventh round. That's amazing, man.
Yes, from time. Yeah, it's incredible. And I think Elijah, I like the depth of the position. I'm with Dusty. I was a little disappointed, maybe surprised, I think, even from Brett Veach's answers. But I'm way more of the value of the defensive line, the depth that was needed there. So I'm on board with this draft pick. It is frustrating to see other teams have a bell cow, but.
But it's 365 days ago, we were not talking about the bell cow running back.
You're right.
And so this time next year, we'll be having a conversation about some position. Like, oh my God, did you see what they're doing at, you know, corner, whatever the case may be. It'll be something, because every year in the NFL, a new narrative develops, right? A new plan comes into place. Oh my God, the Eagles won it with defensive line. Everybody's going crazy on the defensive line in the draft. Next year, the Chiefs will win it with, you know, wide receivers. Whatever, go crazy with wide receivers. It's just kind of the way that this league goes. And the Chiefs just are not going to get into a position where they're drafting a player that they don't believe is able to help them at that point in time. And maybe that running back, they just didn't see the value of in that point. That's all I can think of and say. And again, tip of the cap to Brett Veach. You've accomplished a lot in these drafts over the last 8 years or whatever it's been. You know better than I do. And if that guy wasn't there, like they weren't convicted on that guy, then they didn't go ahead and take that guy. Like if you have any doubt, if you're pass, just pass and take the guy that you really feel convicted about.
Yeah, because the last time they had the most explosive offense they ever had, they took a running back out of the third round. And that guy was Kareem Hunt.
Yep. The only elite running back we've had in this tenure.
Led the league in rushing, and they had the best offense in football.
And they had a hell of an offensive line, too, during that tenure. You had Fisher.
They had everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did. It was a
wide receiver. Yep. They had the tight end. They had everything.
Yeah, and everybody about 5 years younger.
Yeah, you know? And fresh. No one had seen it before.
Nobody had seen it. It was new. The league is kind of caught up, so you got to do things a little bit different. But they've never paid a running back. They just let him go, and it's the next guy up, next guy up, next guy up. And that's kind of what Andy Reid has done since he's come into Kansas City, and it's hard to argue with the results, you know?
I will say, if it's not this year that they drafted a running back at a higher draft pick, I believe it'll be next year, because Elijah Mitchell probably isn't long-term for the Chiefs. Kareem Hunt will be 31. Pacheco, we know that that's not going to be a re-sign. That leaves you with Breshard Smith, seventh-round pick. So next season is going to probably be that year that they maybe, I don't want to say reach, but use some capital at that position.
I mean, you talking draft or you?
Draft.
Yeah. I mean, what's the highest they've drafted running back? Third round, and that was Kareem Hunt.
And that's what
First
I mean.
Round.
Oh yeah, that's right. Clyde Edwards. Yeah. Had that work out right? Probably drafted the wrong guy at that point, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just look, and I think there's a lot of people that have the same opinion. Like, like you had brought up, like they just don't use running backs like other teams do in the system. Yeah. So it's like, to the text line's credit, they're like, why go get, you know, a Lamborghini when you're not going to use it? Just get a Honda Civic. It's reliable. Get to A to B.
So I love that.
They're kind of, you know, on that side. Like, and then somebody was like, we cry every year about Andy running the ball more, and then we're going to talk about how they don't draft a running back. Like, why would you do that if that's not, you know, like Bob has said, like a position of need? But just, I don't know, man. I'm just, you know.
There's certain times you want to see them run the football and be able to convert third and one.
It's more so I don't necessarily want to see them run the ball. I just want to see them have, like, that sort of, like, athletic back, you know, that they can throw a pass out to. Because, I want to see Mahomes not have to sit back and wait for a route to develop when he can just dump a few off in the game. And you could maybe see this revamped offensive line pull. Because what did they say about Josh Simmons? He's great on the move.
Yeah, can move.
And Trey Smith, we know what he can do on the right side, on the move. We've seen, you talk about making pancakes. You see Trey Smith, they throw screens out there. It might be more entertaining to watch Trey Smith pull than it would be to watch the running back wait for the pull to happen and then take off. Like, it's just, I don't know, that's just where my heart is. I don't, again, question Brett Veach for anything. I never would. I never will. He's done enough in this town to completely just sit back and relax. But I'm still 75 to 100% satisfied with where they're at.
Of course.
And you know, look, my heart and my mind tells me running back. But at the end of the year, when they're 14-3 or whatever it is, and they, you know, have top five offense, and I sit here and I'm like, you know what? Just shut up.
Well, and the other thing, too, is you know what Spags loves, that rotation of defensive players. They didn't have enough guys on that defensive line to have a rotation, enough young, fresh guys to kind of have that rotation. And so you give your defensive coordinator what he needs to have a successful defense.
No doubt.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
Take it away, Dr. Mackenstein.
We'll stick with football for now before we get back to the hardwood.
What?
Where is it?
You talking hardwood after you show me that video last night of the court caving in at the Garden?
Man, that was rough. Jalen Brunson twisting his ankle again, and it was probably because of his home court. Speaking of hardwood for Bob, Eli Manning could be buying the New York Giants. One word on Eli Manning and an investment group getting together to buy the G-men.
Yeah, about 10% is for sale, which is awesome, right? Like, how could you not want Eli Manning to be part owner of your franchise, yes. right? Like, if you're the Mara family, you got to sell that 10% to Eli. You know you're selling it to somebody good, a great football family. It's going to be a lot of fun to see him own it. I wish the Chiefs would do that. Give me Will Shields as part owner of the Kansas City Ooh. Chiefs. I think he'd be fantastic.
That'd be awesome.
He'd be great.
Dusty, one word, then your chief.
My one word would be homage. Now in the future, I want to see Tom Brady as part owner of the Raiders play Eli Manning as part owner of the Giants.
Yeah.
And Eli steal another one from Tom.
Come on.
Now, I know Giants Raiders may not move the needle for the Super Bowl, but damn it, that's a fun story.
And if you said it's Giants versus Raiders, but it's Eli versus Tom in the Super Bowl, those two guys are playing quarterback?
Yes.
You're watching that. You would absolutely watch that.
Eli stole two in the past. Can he steal another one?
Did you know that Tom Brady was mentoring Shador Sanders and the Raiders didn't even draft him? What does that tell you?
Wow. Wow. Did not know that.
Legendary. Give me a chief to be a part owner.
Part owner of the franchise? Yeah.
Man. Somebody I like that's got a good chance of taking the. Give me like Tomba Lee.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, dude. Give me Tomba.
That'd be cool.
Big name, flamboyant personality, diehard chief, banging the drum once a year. You know, Tomba's banging the drum at some point this year.
I hope so.
Give me Tomba Lee.
Make sure I wear my jersey. I'd go basic. Kelsey, just because it'd be fun to see Swift up there as well, because she'd be into
Yeah,
I saw a video yesterday that said T Swift's on Madden 2025.
She is.
It showed Travis Kelsey catching a pass against the Raiders in the snow, like one handed. Then he did his like celebration end zone where he like opens up his arms, and then the camera went up top to like a private booth, and it's like a blonde lady in a red shirt like going nuts cheering.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I love it.
Oh, that's gonna make people so mad. I can't wait.
Tony Dungy right now is pissed. He's writing a letter.
He's seething.
Yeah.
Oh, the good one would be Alex Smith.
Alex, I knew people would say that. I knew the text line would take Alex Smith and run with it. Again,
Alex Smith.
A guy whose perception is completely changed in this town.
You got Alex Smith, Dante Hall, Will Shields, Derek Johnson, Trent Green. Those are all good ones.
Yeah.
Trent Green might as well. He spends the first 3 weeks of the season doing preseason.
Yeah.
And then him and Harlan are in for at least two games a year.
The problem is when you start to think about the value of these franchises, roughly $6 billion for an NFL franchise. What Belichick said he increased the Patriots' value to, by the way.
Mm.
Bill Belichick said he took a $500 million franchise and turned it into a $6 billion franchise. The NFL kind of had some help in that too, Bill.
He ain't lying.
But like 10%, like $600 million. Of a $6 billion franchise? Who got that cash lying around?
I don't know, but I wish I was that guy from the Boston Celtics who bought him and then sold him for like $6
billion. Wick. Yeah. I mean, that guy made some money. There was a local guy that was involved in the local Kansas City guy that was involved in the bidding for the Boston Celtics. And then it got to be about $6 billion. They're like, nope.
He bought that team for $360 million and sold it for $6
billion. Like 25 years or whatever later.
But that's the only, and honest to God, I'm not. This is not being facetious. That's the only way you make money as an owner of a professional sports team is when you sell that thing on the back end.
You would never see me again.
No, I just watched Celtic City, and then when they're winning in the late 2000s, they're losing. The team's losing money.
Yeah.
But you know, Wick's like, we're winning. This is fun. This is awesome.
You buy that team and sell for that. You know that scene in Top Gun where Maverick throws Goose's dog tags in the ocean? That's my cell phone. That's my laptop.
Oh, I would never be on the internet again if I had that kind of
dough. You wouldn't know where I was.
Yeah, no chance. There's no chance. But that's the value of these franchises now, billions and billions of dollars. And so that's why they're starting to pawn off portions of them, because you can't find anybody that can afford them anymore.
Okay, one word on this was on Twitter. A Dolphins reporter said something about the Dolphins, and a Dolphins fan said, serious question, Joe. Do you believe the Fins can ever truly be a consistently elite organization hailing from a beach, resorts, vacation, warm weather? Players come here to relax, not to be tough and play their hardest and best in the coldest months versus the best teams. One word on that, whatever that was from that fan.
Desperate. Like, we're to the point now as a fan that we're blaming the nice weather for why we're not good.
Just strictly the Dolphins, or Miami is in a hole as like a sports
He's talking,
He's
about,
talking
the
about
the Dolphins.
I know you said the Fins, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you hired McDaniels. I would say desperate's good, but, irrelevant. I mean, what? Like, the weather is the factor. The South Beach. Like, then maybe go get guys that don't fit that sort of narrative.
San Francisco seems to do pretty well.
I mean,
I've heard the weather's great.
Yeah, the weather's not great in San Francisco, though. It's not
LA.
Like LA's
got, come on. Yeah. We could do this all day.
Yeah. That's desperate. That's a fan going, why can't we win?
Yeah.
You know, that's a fan for, and I don't fault the fan per se going, you know, I'm at my wit's end here with this team. They haven't done anything since the 80s.
Look at your head coach. Right?
Yeah.
That guy got wrapped up and captivated in the Miami South Beach life. You can just tell. And the one thing that we said when Tyreek Hill went to Miami was like, I don't know if I can trust Tyreek Hill in South Beach. Nine kids later, everybody's right. So, I mean, you have to find your type. I mean, you have to
13
find.
13 total, Dusty. 13 total.
I mean, you got to find
the offense.
In Miami, I do believe that geographically, you have to find your type. Like, you have to find somebody willing to be like, yeah, I'll go to Buffalo. Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Played in Wyoming.
I don't disagree with that at all.
You know, you got to find a guy like
Mahomes. Fits the DNA of your city.
Mahomes in Kansas City. From Lubbock. You know, you look up at the panhandle. You're not the panhandle, but you look up at the in the upper part of Texas where it's at. Look at Kansas City. It's a lot. Not that far geographically. Midwestern-ish vibe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to New York. It's not going to Chicago. You know, you got to find players that also kind of fit where you're at. And if you bring a, you know, a high-strung Jalen Ramsey, Tyreek Hill, let him go to South Beach and know that they're going to probably take advantage of that. That's on you to not know that.
That's, I mean, you're right. I can't disagree with anything. You have to make sure. Like, that's why everybody was so, like, worried about Las Vegas. Are players going to be able to handle the Las Vegas lifestyle? Yep. How about the Miami lifestyle? Because it's pretty wild down there. I mean, it is a hell of a lifestyle.
I wouldn't trust myself.
No, I get it. I mean,
so, but, I understand where he's coming from, and then the reporter responded back, well, they won in the 70s, but it was a lot different back then.
Well,
man.
I'd say like, the Miami Heat figured out fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so this, I think that's just...
It's leadership.
Yes.
It all comes culture. Back to leadership and culture, and the Miami Dolphins don't have that.
You also played a playoff game where there were sub-zero temperatures, and that's on you that couldn't handle that.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why the fan feels that way as well. You can't win when it's, you know, below 40 degrees. I get it. Like, if you're a Dolphins fan, you've never seen success.
So last night, the Pacers trailed by 7 points with less than 40 seconds left in the game versus Milwaukee. They were up 3-1. The NBA playoff teams in the last 20 years were previously 0-1176 when trailing by 7 or more points with that much time left remaining on the clock. The Pacers did indeed win and close out that series in overtime after Tyrese Halliburton's dad came onto the court showing a towel of his son's face, kind of walking around, and then finds Giannis in the midcourt. They sink eye-to-eye contact. It gets chippy. Words are exchanged. Their heads touch forehead to forehead. One word on Tyrese Halliburton's dad's antics last night.
Awful. He's 100% in the wrong, and he's lucky Giannis didn't kick his ass, and both teams kicked that guy's ass.
Beat that ass.
I mean, come on. It's parents ruining things for their kids at every level. Even in the pros, parents are douches.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I mean, whether that's Halliburton or that's, you know, a future, you know, Dusty Likens, and that's me doing that, that would be embarrassing. I wouldn't be able to, like, you know, talk to my kid for a while after that. Like, sorry, I made it more about me and not about you. After you just had a historic come-from-behind win, and now everybody's talking about that instead of the Pacers, what you said, you know, bucking the trend of being down in
that
sort
win.
Of game.
You know, when you said all that, I was like, oh, that's cool. I had no idea because that's all we're talking about is the father coming onto the court.
And his son hit the game winner.
Right,
his
exactly.
Son, and we're not even talking about that.
And the best part about it is his son after the game is like, yeah, Pops is out of line.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Which is awesome. Absolutely.